Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
And welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, August the 11th, 2014, and it is Parent-Teacher Talk Day. We apologize for Friday, and thank you, Dr. Tim, for jumping in there and grabbing both the switchboard and the radio show and hosting and talking with Dale and taking care of everything. We're on day 8 right now of our 9-day intensive, and Friday we were going over the energy field work, and I was the example laying on the table, and Michael was doing the energy work on me, and I went into process, and Michael just stayed with it. And the next thing we knew, when we finished up, somebody said, Dr. Tim and Michelle covering the show for you today. And Michael and I both looked at each other. It was like 12:30, and neither one of us had even thought about the radio show. That's the first time in almost 4 years. We were just doing other things and staying with the process, and it just went right past us. So we apologize for missing it. I did jump right on the phone and call, and I heard Dale and Tim talking, so I knew that you had covered it for us, Dr. Tim, and we do appreciate that. You are a jewel.
Well, you're most welcome and deserving, and no apologies needed. I'm hoping that your processing is continuing and your healing process is mending.
It is. It is. And thank you so much. And so for you callers, 646-200-4169, and if you press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. So let's welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and I reinforce the thank you, Dr. Tim. It was about 25 minutes to when somebody said, radio show. I was like, oh, my God, the show's over, half over. We were just, I mean, the energy was moving. Jeannie was probably, by that time, in her 50th still point. I mean, the energy was just on go, and I just got totally lost in it. And so I did try to call in about 2 minutes to completion, but I couldn't get through, at least just to say hello and acknowledge that we had spaced out on it. The energy and the intensive is just moving and rocking. Big, big space is opening. So it's pretty awesome. And we were just in it. So how do you be today, sir? Are you with us, Dr. Tim?
Are you there?
I am. I was just asking how you be today.
Okay. My headset just cut out, so I'm doing quite well, thank you. We had an active show on Friday with Dale and some people calling in at the end with questions was quite nice, and Dale was on as usual, and so we're just rocking along. I gave a talk at the Unity Spiritual Center in Woodstock yesterday for the sermon, and that seemed to go pretty well, and That's now posted on my website if anybody wants that audio. And the topic, as we talked about earlier, was the most precious resource on the planet. And the answer to that is your mind energy. And so I blended in some things from the Kabouris Manuscript and Guy Finley and Way of Mastery and Dale Hoffman and Michael Rice and Bruce Lipton and Candace Pert, and we had a full show all in that.
I think you got everybody in there.
All in that talk. So that's what I've been up to, and enjoying.
Well, anybody that wants to listen to the talk, you want to give your website so that people can go tap into it and give a listen?
All right, it's www.C4CSAM.com. And near the top of the main page, it says media. You click on that, and then you click on the link for audio. And it's the last one in the long list, but I will make some time later today and move it to the top of the list. It says something about Dr. Tim talks about mind energy at Unity. So that's the title.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we've been working lots with the whole idea of mind energy here, as, you know, that mind energy is the builder. It's the director of what organizes in the whole planet, the whole world, and especially within our minds, within our thoughts, within our feelings. And one of the things I really appreciate about the way we have been created is that we have this infallible alarm system, this awesome feedback mechanism that tells us as creators when we're on track or when we're off track. And when we're in hostility or fear, recognizing that we're off base gives us the opportunity to start to go, what mind energy am I creating this experience out of? And as I wake up to recognize that, you know, maybe this isn't the healthiest mind energy for me. I love what Yeshua says about words, which, of course, are just representative of mind energy. And he says that the power of life and death is in our words, that literally we create the chemistry of death when we engage in energy, mind energy, reflected as words, that don't belong in the system, those things based in hostility and fear, and how our whole culture brainwashes us into the hostility and fear. And then the beauty of having first century Aramaic forgiveness as a way to remove when we are warned by some sort of pain, some sort of hostility or fear, that we're engaging in a creative process that's not going to serve us, it's not going to be delicious in the end, then we can back up, engage in forgiveness, and remove that mind energy. And, you know, tying in the idea that forgiveness has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook, but rather is the way we go inside ourselves and remove what never belonged. So we are in the thick of it. This is actually, we've got one more session today and then a session tomorrow, and we're complete with the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And then we've got a few days off, and on the 22nd, if there's anybody that wants to take your work to the next level, this should be an exciting class. Jeannie was counting up, and in this class coming up on the 22nd, the 16-day Laws of Living, we're going to have 9 teachers there. So there's a gathering of people who are reviewing and taking their work to the next level, committing to teach and take the work forward. So I'm pretty excited about that, that many people gathering to really, truly refine their understanding of the laws of living and how to take it forward into the world. So that's just pretty fabulous. And so if anybody wants to join us, that workshop will start, and we do have space in it. Pardon me, on the 22nd of August, so about 10 or 11 days from now. And we'll go through, we'll go through September 6th. We will finish on the 6th and pull to the airport and then be heading to St. Louis. We'll be off to St. Louis for the next weekend to be doing a week of workshops there, then up to spend time with you and on down. Hopefully, we still haven't solidified Naperville yet, but hopefully that'll come together. We'll be in Naperville and then heading to Grand Rapids, Lansing, Pinckney, Michigan for a 9-day intensive, and then heading south to, it looks like we might be heading to Wilmington, North Carolina, if that all comes together. And then we're still just sitting with the schedule on what confirms next. So we're just sort of confirming things as the tour unfolds, and it looks like we're going to cover Florida pretty well. So if you have anywhere in Florida that you'd like us to present, let us know, and we'll tap in and see if we can lock that into the schedule. Looks like we're going to pretty much cover the whole state. We're talking to folks over in Panama City, and so lots happening. And so we invite you to pick up the phone if you have a question for us. Of course, our focal point is the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness, and the word forgive meaning to remove, not to let off the hook, but rather if I'm in pain or turmoil, forgiveness is how I go inside myself and remove what never belonged. And so that's what we're working to bring forward on a planet-wide scale, an understanding of that process. Today we just completed the 7 steps of responsibility communication, the workshop communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And clarifying the power that our words have to generate the realities that we see, and that when we actually take responsibility for the realities that we see, we get to look at what's underneath them, those who live in denial and dissociation, those who talk about how everybody else made them sad, angry, afraid, whatever, then there's no possibility of direct relationship with the hidden material. And so one just locks into the game of it's all somebody else's fault. So we're looking to change that game and make it a different game. One where we get to consciously, purposely create what we'd like to have happening in our lives and to walk through and work through the things that never belong. So we're honored and blessed for everybody that chooses to join us every day. We do have lots of radio shows in the archives, hundreds and hundreds of them. I really appreciate the fact that we have that resource available, and so you can go back and give a listen to those things. And as we move forward in the world, we're working to make them more and more available. We've been talking with Suzanne about maybe putting them on small MP3 players, USB drives, to make them available to folks. So it's all just kind of unfolding, and we'll see how it moves in the world. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody in the chat room with a hand with a question, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up that might have something we can chat about?
Nobody has their hand up, and Peace and Java Jim and I were just chatting in the chat room. We do have Julie on. She doesn't have her hand up, but I can turn her on. And Suzanne's not with us, so I'm not sure.
Okay, I had talked with Suzanne, and she had a family function again with 4 babies, parent-teacher talk, Mondays being a bit of a challenge, and she said next week they're back in school, so she'll be back in the saddle with us and more available on Mondays to move in the direction of parent-teacher talk. But let's see if Julie has anything from the teacher's perspective on the process of bringing things up in the world.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon, young lady. How are you today?
I am good. I would like to share something that happened to me, which isn't really about parent-teacher talk. Is that be okay?
Let's go for it. Sure.
So, you know, I almost came up to the class to process it out because it truly triggered me. And, you know, we were doing a lot of work on the power person technique, you know, and power person information during that last intensive. And I told you that I felt my brother was part of my power person dynamics. So I got permission to use one of the docs down there, and I have had permission for years, but I really just haven't used it. And I decided to go ahead down, and I just looked at the doc as the whole doc as any place you want to sit. So I sat someplace on the dock, and then all of a sudden a man that owns part of the docks came down and just absolutely yelled and screamed at me and threatened me about 4 times to call the police. And I kept saying, okay, and I said, I know you, I live here, and you know, and I said, I know you a couple of times. It didn't make any difference. It just, he just kept going on and on. And you can probably hear it in my voice. It resonated something, and I really, I guess it would be fear. And I was like, so surprised that, you know, he just didn't stop talking. And then, you know, I just said, okay, well, I said, I really wasn't sure that I had sit at a special spot on this dock. So anyway, I went over to another spot on the dock. And then I started to do some, you know, work around that, you know, and I realized that was my brother, you know, and had I not had that experience, I really had forgotten about, you know, what that was like to live with that, I want to call it a barrage or, you know, an energy that just keeps coming at you, you know. And I had that experience then, well, wow, I really didn't really remember what that was like to be under that that kind of energy coming at you and so constant. So I did like about 6 worksheets, but I could realize when I started dealing with the worksheets that I wanted to do the behavior that he was doing to me right back at him. You know, I wanted to give it back to him. And then I, you know, had the memory of how, you know, as 5 years younger, wanting to give that energy back, and of course was never going to be able to do that because of the size of him, and he was a Marine, da, da, da. Anyway, so I continue to do my process. I can, and even from just that, I can sense how war is created and how my mind energy was working towards, like, revenge. And, you know, what a gift forgiveness is. I mean, what a gift. And I sat there on that dock, and I did worksheets, and then I did worksheets the next day, and then I did worksheets the next day, so that I could actually come from a place of peacefulness within me. You know, it had nothing to do about him, but it was certainly the ringing of the doorbell of what possibility of what life was like living with that energy in my household and what possibly a power person would have been like for me. Anyway, I was going to ask for support and healing, and it was so perfect because the sweetness of the intensive was, you know, that peacefulness and that sweetness, and then here this was so, the energy was just so coarse. And I was like, wow, look at the difference. You know, to just be able to be in that space and, you know, sense it all. So I did want to share it. And, you know, again, ask support for me healing my power person dynamics and any rage I have or any kind of wanting to, you know, attack back.
Well, that's pretty awesome to catch. It sounds like it was extremely abusive, and, you know, to catch your mind working out of a power person dynamic of wanting to shoot the same thing back. And, you know, that's what happens in the world. And to me, that relates directly to parent-teacher talk Mondays, that when a parent or a sibling is in that kind of abusive energy toward a small child that doesn't have much control over what's happening in the world, that they're teaching the child a certain behavior. I know that there's one person that I watched in an intensive, and they were in the role of, you know, I'm going to be this person's protector. I'm going to take care of them and protect them, but totally unconscious in that need to protect, and, you know, coming from a positive space of wanting to contribute something to a young person's life, but modeling rage and judgment and attack, which with that young person, if they didn't know how to process that energy, that would become their power person. And so here's the person ostensibly protecting, when in fact what they're teaching the child is more of the same kind of attack, more of the same game. So how we teach children, how we interact with those children is so important. So, you know, I hear you presenting it on the other end, and I think it's an awesome gift to give parents to realize that when the parent engages, and this, you know, ties into the codependence work, but for everybody, these dynamics start in early childhood. And when one is locked into that power person dynamic, which is what we cover in the codependence to interdependence intensive, what happens is that they are limited to, for the rest of their lives, if they never process through that, people are limited to three behaviors. And the three behaviors that come out of the power person, the codependence to interdependence workshop, are that when there's no stress, the person will automatically do whatever they did to get along with the power person. And when stress starts to build, they'll do whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And then when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do exactly what their power person did to them that they hated the most. And a lot of adults are really shocked when the children start spitting back at them exactly what was done to them as children. The words, the actions, you know, the words that a child hears at a very young age become the governing words of the adult when they're under stress. And so it's such an important thing to be aware of if you want your children, you know, if someone's, you know, going to control children and be verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, or physically abusive, then just realize that you're going to raise a child who's going to do exactly that. I watched somebody on a streetcar one day. We were in a tourist area and sitting watching, and two people, you know, it was one that you kind of jump off and jump on, and so you could come in from either side. And so one gentleman jumped in from one side, and at about the same time, a man and his family were jumping in. And, you know, they both arrived in the seat at about the same time. Probably the gentleman who jumped on from the one side was there first. But the other was like, you know, his goal was, I want this seat, and I want it for me, and I want it for my family. And he just, I mean, he pushed, he bullied, he raged at this person, vicious, ugly words. And, you know, I wanted to say to him, I just, you know, became the observer and stayed out of it. But I wanted to say, sir, do you realize what you're teaching your children to do? And when that young man that's sitting there listening to his father handle stress does that to you, are you going to take that? How are you going to deal with that? Because that's exactly what's coming down the pipe toward you. You know, there's Cat Stevens has a great song, and my boy grew up just like me, doing the same stuff. And that power person dynamic to me is so important. And, of course, many times, not only parents, but teachers become the power person. And so the kinds of behaviors that teachers do, and that's one of the things I acknowledge you for, that you recognize that as a kid you went through some pretty difficult times in school and that you chose to do it differently and that you, you know, did forgiveness work and you cleaned up your life so that you could be a different influence on those kids. And what a gift to give. I still think one of these days we need to follow up with those kids and find out where they're at now, you know, this many years later, compared with other kids in the school. And I think we will see an absolutely marked difference in their lives. And I think it would be a nice piece of research to do. But you certainly gave a lot of kids, as the kindergarten grade one teacher, you certainly gave them some wonderful gifts.
Thank you very much. It was definitely an experience for myself. You know, I realized that, you know, I stepped into my whole healing process and they were, you know, part of my healing family. I was just going to say I was so grateful for having the intensive as my backup before I had this interaction with this gentleman because, it was so refreshed in my mind about, you know, doing that mind shifter. And you know, anybody that hasn't done an intensive, I support you 100% coming for the laws of living. It would be absolutely fabulous. In fact, if Susan's on the phone, Susan Darnell, maybe she would like to share some things that about, you know, her new experiences about the power person dynamics, because she also has had an eye-opening experience. But anyway, I just want to thank you for, you know, that time period of being able to get really grounded in the power person and how we play it out. And how we play it out over and over again. We just, that's the replicant mind, and that's, you know, with different people, different days, but we're doing the same thing. And, you know, having that gentleman say what he did and continue, and then threaten. I thought, wow, you know, that's here for me to really look at and really experience. And so, you know, I just want to, you know, the whole thing was a blessing in some respects. At the point of origin, it wasn't. But, you know, as I step back, it was a blessing. And, you know, I'll continue to do my work around it if my doorbell gets rung again. And it does. I guess it really does play out, you know, in this, you know, Monday's parent-teacher talk, because that's what we do with kids. And you know, and again, you know, I wanted to do something different. So yeah, it was a good experience in my room. And I want to thank you. Thank you for, you know, giving me an opportunity to have a better foundation for how to handle that kind of stress when it's, you know, right in your face.
Why didn't we? We just had an experience in the intensive. There's a woman who came with her daughter to this 9-day, and her daughter is getting ready to go back to college, and there were four roommates, and two of the roommates got an apartment, and the person who manages the accommodations would only give the other two a room to share, wouldn't give them an apartment. And so this created a big stir and a lot of challenges, and actually has been the subject on 3 or 4 days of the intensive, the process for both this young lady and for her mother. And they came into the class this morning to share that this person had been rather abusive and would not even have a logical or reasonable conversation, but very much like the one you're describing happened on the dock. Last night, just out of the blue, no communication, Ruth said, oh, by the way, we have an apartment for your daughter. Total shift. And the mother and the daughter had both been working around their energy and their upset around this particular issue. So it's pretty cool to watch how the manifestation changes, how things shift and change. Pretty awesome.
So then you kind of faded out. So then they manifested the gentleman giving them an apartment.
Voluntarily coming forward and giving them the apartment, yes, without any more conversation.
Yay. Nice healing.
Very powerful. And mom especially really had to grit her teeth and go through some things to be able to fathom this person who'd been quite abusive with her as she tried to take up on her daughter's part. She shared that it was really quite a challenge for her to really be that space and to move forward into it. You know, I think one of the nice gifts of the intensive is the number of people that you get to do a love exchange with, and that's one of the tools that we teach, and how that moves energy, and it just changes things in the most amazing way.
Fabulous.
Definitely. Danny, definitely. Dr. Kim, you have any thoughts on that whole conversation?
Well, the first thing I would like to do is...
Are we there? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
The first thing I'd like to do is thank Julie for getting us back to parent-teacher talk Monday, because it's a perfect segue, because we were all children once, and we all had power people. And then we keep perpetuating the dynamics that our power people gave to us. And unless we become aware of it, unless we have the good fortune to get introduced to some tools and then the decision to use them, then we just keep passing down what was handed to us. And so I agree with Julie wholeheartedly that she did bring us right back to the parent-teacher talk. And I don't know of anything better than becoming aware of an unconscious dynamic, which then gives me the only possibility for changing it. And the best thing I can do for anybody in my bloodline is to do the best thing for myself and learn to quit living from unconscious patterns that were handed down and to learn to live more consciously and loving in the moment. So I congratulate Julie for taking advantage of the tools. And for the work of the support of the intensive to allow her to have that space where she could step into it so consciously. That's fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate that. And I was so grateful to have those tools because I had them in my little bag right there by the lake. And I said, whew, I'm taking these out right now. You know, after I stopped shaking. Oh, man.
Well, and that's, you know, part of what Michael said earlier is this alarm system we have is flawless. When I start to shake, when I start to get angry, when I start to get fearful, when I start to get confused, that's my alarm system going off, trying to tell me, hey, Tim, your mind energy is off the mark. You're creating something that doesn't have to be. You're repeating something. You have something resonated that's unlike love, and you can change it. So get the tools out, put them to work, and watch the magic happen. And that, you know, you came on, Julie, in response to Michael's story about the woman who got the apartment offered to her and said, so she manifested this. Well, you know, I love the way Dale talks about this in some of his talks. The word manifest really means obvious. And it's not attracting it to her. It's becoming aware of what's of a whole different potential that was always there. And when I remove the anger and the fear and the bitterness and the judgment from my field, it's amazing what becomes obvious or what manifests to me, because it's all already there. And all that's really there to always be made manifest or obvious to me is this loving energy and this positive pattern of interaction. If we could start teaching that to kids earlier, we will transform the world.
I agree. I love what you just said. That was really great. Yeah, make obvious. And I agree. You know, I was wondering, Michael, is everything that we're doing, and I mean, I don't mean the worksheets and things, but the, you know, our story, is that just all resistance, resistance, resistance? Is that what's really happening?
Well, my take would be that the tendency is that if there's something in my physiology I don't want to deal with, I'm going to draw someone in to play it out with me. And when they do, I will tend to want to play to blame them, utilize the power person dynamic that was done to me to fend them off, to win over them. And for those who aren't familiar with the whole idea of the codependence work that we do, it's a little different than the world's codependence game. And the power person is a person in your life who at some stage in life had more power over your life than you did, and they were not functioning as love. So that's a definition of our power person. And when we take on the energy of the power person, then for the rest of our lives, until we bring that forward and clean it up, we're going to tend to play that out just time after time after time after time after time. And, you know, if you had sat on the dock and gone into the rage back at this fellow as your power person dynamic would have dictated to you instead of being conscious and changed it, you'd have put yourself into a deeper disease state. You'd have put him into a deeper disease state. And, you know, who knows where it ends up? That's what ends up as crazy stuff in our culture. But when somebody's willing to get conscious, and instead of just functioning out of that, starting to observe, oh, here comes my power person behavior. I'm ready to change this. It's like everything changes in my world when I do that. It's got such far-reaching effects. So, again, I appreciate you, and thank you for doing it.
Okay, so yeah, I still have this question, and I heard what you said. And the question is, If there's something that I don't want to deal with, and I just have to use myself as an example, if there's something and I start playing out the power person dynamic, then I'm actually in resistance of my healing process.
Right.
Okay. So that's what I was getting this intuitive message that most of what's going on is resistance to, you know, dealing with what's there within me or with what anybody else would be dealing with what's there within them. And then they have a story or they play out another dynamic, but it all goes back to, you know, I don't want to feel and I don't want to deal with what's within me. So that's, again, the word resistance came up.
And in the Aramaic, first century Aramaic language, the word Satan is a lowercase word, and it means the resister, one who misleads. And so our mind misleads us into thinking that I'm in pain because of what this person standing on the dock is saying to me, when the truth is I'm in pain because I absorbed a lump of energy from my power person, and I'm still playing it out. But if you walk up to the average person and say that to them in the middle of their muddle, what are they going to do? They're going to go into resistance, and they're going to have a story. Oh, no, it's look at what they did. It's all their fault. And so now I'm literally trapped in Satan, the resistor, one who misleads. My mind is misleading me into thinking that it's what I'm feeling is about something outside of me rather than what's going on inside of me. And, of course, it's the forgiveness process that allows us to go inside and clean it up. And if we don't ever bring it forward, then it becomes the very thing that defines us. What we refuse to come into conscious relationship with in ourselves sooner or later becomes the guide that we follow for our behavior. And if it becomes the guide we follow for our behavior, then it becomes that which runs our lives. We're looking to say, all right, I'm willing to embrace. It doesn't mean I have to put up with somebody's behavior. Doesn't mean I'm condoning someone's behavior. Doesn't mean I'm making their behavior okay. Doesn't mean I'm accepting their behavior. But I receive the situation, and I receive the energy that's going on, and I do it from a space of love. And if I can't, I realize that I have work to do. So I'm able to embrace this situation out of a space of love, and I'm able to respond from a connected space of love, and it might be to hold this person accountable for their behavior, as opposed to I have to cower in fear the way I did with my power person. But when I'm in resistance to that, when I don't know that I'm being controlled by that old power person dynamic, that's when things tend to get crazy in the world, and that ultimately is the kind of thing that leads to war.
Yeah, that's what I sensed when I was, you know, interacting with him, and I kept saying, okay, you know, okay. I was in a pretty good space, but then I knew that it just felt like I needed to go deeper, and then that's when I, you know, discovered all the other stuff and, the, you know, the dynamics. And I did sense, I thought that this is what the foundation of war is, because of the way I reviewed my own mind and what my own mind wanted to do. And I thought, well, this is it. This is my war within. Me dealing with my power person.
Exactly. Exactly. And so all healing occurs when I can be with what's going on inside of me and I can bring that forward for healing. And if I refuse to bring it forward, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the forgiveness process is really purging of, you know, these energies that are just really never going to support us in functioning as a space of love.
Right. If I turn it over to the energy of the moment, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big, big trouble. Yeshua says, if you go to the Gospel of Thomas, you hear Yeshua saying, it's saying number 70 in the Gospel of Thomas, if you look it up, if you bring forth what is within you, what is within you will heal you. If you refuse to bring forward what is within you will kill you. Pretty clear, pretty straightforward. And every circumstance I come into gives me the opportunity to either live in denial and blame them and therefore cut myself off from what is within me, or it gives me the opportunity to access what's within me and bring it to change.
And Michael?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Carl Jung says, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious.
Right.
And then
James
Allen says, he thinks in secret
and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. Circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. So without judging what another person has done, I can become more conscious of my response to it. And if my response to what somebody else has done is less than love, that's revealed to me, oh, I've got garbage in me that I can dismantle. I've got the possibility to see this environmental influence as a reflection of what I need to heal within me.
For sure.
Very cool. Very powerful. Well, do we have any callers?
And so, to me, for the parent-teacher talk idea is to become conscious as parents and as teachers that the words we use with our children are ultimately going to become the words they use to manage their lives in the future. If we manage our lives and our interactions with children, especially when we're under stress, out of love and out of words of love, then our children are going to learn to do that. And if we don't, then they're going to learn something different. And the feedback loop is infallible. Of course, most everybody wants to blame somebody else. But
well, I feel life is always going to teach me about me. So if just remind myself of that, and if I'm in pain, I'm in error, those little reminders always keep me moving forward.
Yay, for sure. And I join you in moving forward. That's pretty awesome. And, you know, you can also, as you do your work in that space, you can move to a place of compassion for this person who's in such pain that instead of a rational conversation, all they can do is rage. You know, you think about, compassionately think about how much pain is in that person that they can't stay conscious over something simple as somebody sitting on a board. You know, it's like, what kind of skin does that person live in? What kind of trauma and turmoil? And I think part of the development of compassion is that we can see the pain that someone else is in, and we can hold a space for it, even if they're pointing the result of that pain at us. You know, I don't have to buy. If this person's selling, but thank you very much, I can pass on it. I don't need to buy.
Yeah, it was one more time where I was resonated, and I was not really able to keep the space of love that I would have liked. And after doing my worksheets, I also thought about, man, what was his power person like, you know? So, you know, I did have compassion. Yeah, I agree with you. Compassion is a very healing for me, too.
Well, and one of the steps in the worksheet, a relatively recent step, step number 6C, where once I've canceled the goal and start to see my part in something, I ask myself the question, as I stand here in my infantile, what I think is perfection in my infantile demands, and I want somebody else to follow every infantile demand that I make, and in that step I stop and look at the goal that I've been disturbed about somebody else not fulfilling for me, and I ask myself the question, when have I not fulfilled that goal? And all of a sudden, I think this is, you know, to me, the idea of the worksheet is to bring in love and all of the human faculties, and this step in particular, and open a space for compassion to show up and recognize that no person is not perfect, and oh my God, and now that I look at what I've been demanding from them, I haven't fulfilled it. So what right do I have to demand it of them when I haven't fulfilled it myself? And I think that especially applies with children. You know, when we expect the child to be perfect and understand everything all the time, which of course is ridiculous, and don't give them the space to be children, then we make literally infantile demands. And that has an imprint on the child for life. And we want to make a different kind of imprint. So, Jimmy, is there anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
Yes, actually, I just sent you a text and told you that I had something out of the chat room, and we have three callers. So, out of the chat, yeah. So, out of the chat room, it's actually a request, and I asked him if I could say it on air, and he said yes. Peacemaker has been a supporter of us since the beginning, and he has had this past week, today's Monday. He had some testing done, and he has to go back for surgery on the 20th. And so he's asking for prayers and to uplift him. And he actually had a sample prayer on his website, and if it's okay, I'm just going to read that. It's short, and it just says, I pray to my higher being to use the element that I am to fulfill my most inner needs. I trust that the events I experience shall be pleasant and fulfilling. Any weaknesses that I think I have shall be turned into my greatest strengths. I trust that all that is within me, and I am constantly reborn. I accept full responsibility for all sides of my life. Love and creativity shall guide me through heart or purpose. I shall forgive all judgments, for I know that they are within me. And so, Peacemaker, we just hold the space for you as you get the results back tomorrow for your testing that was done, and as you go back to have surgery on the 20th, that the physician's hands are guided and that everything just clears up in your physiology and that you get back to total health. And we are very appreciative to you for your support that you give us here on the radio show.
Absolutely, and we hold the space, especially that the surgeon's hands, if you still need surgery by then, are fully guided. I'd also open the space that you perhaps would be guided to shift whatever energy it is that's manifesting the way it is, that's coming into expression, and perhaps move it out before you even have to get there. You know, you look at surgery, and surgery is an elimination process. And sometimes if our eliminative channels aren't open, then elimination of what doesn't belong in the system can be difficult. And so if there's a way that you can enhance your elimination to allow whatever this is about to be removed without having to go through that process, we hold the space for it, and or that the guidance is there for it to just be perfect. The hands and the heart and the space of love is there for you.
Absolutely. And our first caller, I think, is one of our teachers that's going to be here next week, Susan Darnell.
Hey there, young lady.
Hey, Jeannie. Hi, Michael. I heard the share that Julie had this morning, this afternoon. I just thought I would call in because she mentioned my name. I had talked to her. I had my son come for a visit for my birthday this past weekend. They came in Wednesday night, and they stayed until last night at 8 o'clock. And I thought it was just really interesting how I'm in the intensive, even though I'm not in Missouri at this moment. I feel like I am in spirit. It was just really, really interesting. My son is he's 28. He has a baby that's almost two, and a girlfriend who has emailed me several times that he goes into rages with her, which he didn't use that word, but now that I've seen it twice, once when I was up there visiting. And then this time he had stayed home 2 days while I was working with her, and they had had conflict. And when I came in, he commenced to take me on the back porch, on the back deck, and rage out loud in front of, I mean, it was, I just was sitting there like, whoa. And to, in no uncertain terms, tell me that whatever the new religion I was in, I was not to mention it to them, and I was never to ever say anything to my grandchild, his son, about it. And it was just a really interesting situation that I could see that, number one, I've seen his father, we separated when he was 15 months old, pick him up by the shoulders and rage at him. That's one of the reasons, you know, that we didn't really, I ran from it. Anyway, so it was just funny. After he raged at me, he told me that if I couldn't get over it, that they were leaving and he would probably never come back. And if I did get over it, that he would take me fishing. I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, it's amazing. I'm just kind of stunned, and I just said, wow. It was a wow. Of course, I was shaken, and I said,
was there ever anybody else that after they raged at you would promise to take you fishing?
No, but it's funny. The gentleman that I've mentioned to you, the Kenny, he used to tell me that his father would beat him and then act like nothing had happened and take him fishing, which I thought that was interesting that that was my experience of what I was getting, except the beating was verbal. So my mother had a lot of rage. I remember she would slap me before I ever knew what I had done. So I felt like, and I would say to her, you were nice, and now you've gone and got mean. So she switched very quickly, obviously. And she would laugh and make fun at me saying that. She thought that was funny that I would say that to her. But anyway, it was with my son. I told him when he asked me, was I going to be able to get over it, I said, I love you. And, of course, I want to see you and my grandson. I don't know what to say. And his upset with me was because the baby was there, I wasn't paying attention to him and his girlfriend when they were talking, that I was looking at the baby instead of paying attention to them. And that was his upset, his reason for raging at me. And I said, well, you know, I haven't seen Liam in a couple of months, and he's grown, and he started talking. And it's almost like... you know, I'm enthralled with him, so I apologize. I didn't realize that I was doing that. And, you know, I'll do my best to pay attention when you're talking. That's basically what I said. I mean, what was I going to say? I didn't even know I was doing that. So afterwards, that's what I try to do is just pay attention. But I realize the worksheet process, he gets really upset if I have it out when they're there, so I waited, you know, and did them at night when I was in my room as best I could and just really held on until they left last night. And then I did a couple of worksheets on overwhelm and fear and concern that came up in me when I was on the back porch with him. So I went to work first thing, did a couple of worksheets then on the overwhelm and stuff again. It was interesting. My son got up on my birthday morning. My grandson got up with a fever of 103.8, and I went to they sent me to the drugstore to get a thermometer so we'd know, and he just texted me and said he had strep throat. It was like a little overwhelmed with it. I can see that it was my father in a way and my mother combined. It's sad. I have a lot of sadness.
Breathe. We hold the space. But again, he says the reason was because you weren't paying attention to him. But let me just ask this wild, offhanded question. Would his father rage at him when he wasn't listening?
Yes.
So he's just...
Yes, he was little. He was about... Yeah, he was less than 18 months, and he wasn't paying... And Liam didn't pay attention. You know how little ones are distracted. They just go from one thing to another and run in a million miles a minute through the house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yes, you're right. That's what happened.
So the real reason for his rage, and not just support you in being able to hold the space, because I can only imagine that you as a mom were the recipient of that rage as well. And so probably part of what draws that out and what you're going to want to process and forgive is your pain at watching your former be abusive with your son. And so that coming up and then tie that in with the pattern with mom and dad, and, yeah, that's going to feel like overwhelm when that starts to move. So we're delighted to be here as the community that supports you and embraces all of that energy so you can burn it off forgive it, remove it, and be done with it as a dynamic in your world. And I noticed that you you shared with me recently someone that you recently met who has that same dynamic of rage. And, you know, to get to the point where you can forgive it, remove it totally from yourself, is when it's going to start to disappear from your world.
That's right. And, you know, I was wanting to teach Liam the children's worksheet and get Julie's book and give it to them as a gift and all of the above in my fantasy world that I live in sometimes. And I was thinking to myself, I'm just going to do as many worksheets as I can from now until the day I leave the planet. That's the way I'll help my grandson. I have his bloodline. I can do that.
Absolutely.
So that's where my power is. I love the worksheet process. I just it gives me more incentive, as if, you know, I needed it, but it does give me more incentive to do the worksheet process and to see the miracles that will happen. And maybe one day, you know, I just prayed for Ruka to open his heart and to set my filters to Rockman Kuba so that I could see through the eyes of love and my intentions would be loving. And that's what I'm going to do.
And we hold the space for your son, because your son, having been raged at over not paying attention, and then having his father leave at 18 months of age, of course, what would his threat naturally be? We're going to leave.
Right.
Just replaying that dynamic. You know, when the stress is up and the chips are down, virtually everyone on the planet does exactly what their power person did to them that they hated the most. That's just the way it works. And so to hold the space of compassion for him, because, you know, he doesn't even remember that raging. He doesn't remember his father leaving at 18 months of age. And he probably doesn't remember, and the child at 18 months of age has got a lot figured out. He doesn't remember that he felt like it was his fault that father left, but he probably does. And he probably doesn't remember his blame toward you. It all ties into a complex of energy, and as you can hold the space of love for it, that's what's going to dissolve that from the family genetics, so that his son is going to be able to live in a different world.
I'm willing.
You've got our support.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at Laws of Living. It'll be awesome to have you here.
I know. I'm excited. Thank you so much.
Okay. We appreciate you. Blessings.
Thank you. You too.
So we're down to just a minute or so we'll just put the invitation out. If you're ready to look at the dynamics like the ones we were just talking about, we are starting a 16-day Laws of Living intensive on the 22nd of the month, about 10 or 12 days from now. And so you'd be welcome to come and join us and be part of that intensive. We'll be doing total fresh and raw, awesome dietary regimen. The food has just been fabulous the last couple of months. And the variety of things we've been eating tonight, we're getting ready for a fresh and raw cherry pecan pie. And so, come and join us for the food program and to be looking into these dynamics of healing, and in particular the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. And there's a whole series of things that come out of the Aramaic language that we'll be touching into during Laws of Living, totally focused on the Aramaic. In the meantime, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and give the world the best gift you can possibly give. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.
sleep